Can Scott make meth? Also, how do you spell and say fancy in French? Love, Matt and Jared.
Oh, man.
The people want to know.
Yeah. So I guess we should tackle them one by one. I can't make meth. Like, I mean...
From experience?
I probably have the capability to do it with both the lab equipment and, like, a protocol. But as far as, like, if you just sent me to Walmart with a couple hundred dollar budget or something and said, okay, get all the materials necessary to make meth, I'd be like, can you just, you know, ask someone else? Like, I'm not going to be any use here. I'd probably just go and buy them a bunch of, what would I do? How would I be able to, like, let's say it's a life or death situation. I have to make meth. I don't know how I'd get away with that.
I think you'd start off with a Google search first, right? Seems safe.
No, you don't want to end up on a database. I'm thinking just go, you buy some like thin glass and you crush it up, and then you get some like pharmaceuticals and you sprinkle them on top of it. Let them find out on their own. You run away. You provide them with the product and you run away.
You heard it here first. Meth. Scott condones making meth in life or death situations.
Also, he condones people snorting glass in life and death situations.
Great. Well, you know, that is exactly the takeaway that you guys should have. In a category that I have slightly more experience with, how do you spell and say fancy in French? I'm assuming you mean fancy as in the way that we're using it for the podcast, fancy ramen, where it's something that's like luxurious or sophisticated, as opposed to fancy like, oh, I fancy a cup of tea, like to want or desire something.
Scott, are you sure that's how we're using fancy ramen?
I thought we were using it in like an ironic sense of, you know, this is just ramen, but we're going to make it fancy.
So if we used it in that sense, we'd be using the first definition of fancy.
Yes, but as opposed to the second one, where fancy ramen would be more like an inflection, like fancy ramen, would you like some ramen?
Like ramen. Yeah, maybe that's the true meaning of fancy ramen. Maybe that's this is our podcast name.
This is, it's tricky. Either way, the quick answer is, if you're doing fancy for like something that is nice or quite extravagant, you'd say sophistique, and that's sophisticque with an accent aigu over the E. Fancy the other way is fantasy, I believe, and it's fantaisie. But that one, I don't know that one as well.
According to Google Translate, we should have started this off with "Bonjour, mon petit chou, ici ramen de fantaisie."
It's September 10th, 2017. You're listening to the Fancy Ramen Podcast, episode 31. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm Scott.
And this week we had a couple emails come in. We've read the first one already. The next one, Dave writes, "The last couple of episodes, you have all seemed a little off kilter. Point one, in episode 29, Neil says it's 2018. There are still 4 months left in 2017. Point two,
failure.
Flip Wars gets glanced over in the same episode when I find it a fascinating case of a great game design that is receiving some criticism partly for the limitations of Nintendo's hardware. Point 3. I may have a unique perspective on the NES and SNES Classic. I certainly don't think Nintendo has clean hands in this matter, but I really feel that consumers are the ones causing this problem. If people could just accept life without owning either, then maybe their value wouldn't be so inflated. Personal disclaimer. I walked into Toys R Us during the holidays and saw six of them on shelves. I'm assuming he means the NES Classic in this case. I bought one and without hesitation gave it to my dad-in-law. Point 4. In episode 30, the fact of whitewashing is brought up. Being of mixed descent, I'd like to claim I have no dog in this fight, but I had a point to bring up in a question. 4A. Does justifying a change to a character's ethnicity really make anything better? I think the bigger fact is that that acting is much harder to get into if you're not white. While the industry is nowhere as bad as it once was, this is a classic example of having opportunities to give roles to actors of Eastern descent, including Indian, Malaysian, etc. It's the fact that during their rewrite, they chose the setting to be Seattle, a place with a very large Asian American population that also adds fuel to the fire. And 4B. Neil, can you go a little more in depth into why you enjoy black actors in roles of previously established or assumed white characters?
Breath. You got a lot to answer for, Neil.
Yeah, I know.
And Cookie and I will just go ahead and let you deal with all that. We'll sit here on the sidelines.
I was about to say, I think number two is about me.
Yeah, so do you like Flip Wars? You've played it a bit, I take it?
I've played it a bit more. I really do like Flip Wars. Like, I've got no gripes with it. Like he said, with the criticism over the limitations of the Switch hardware, it does have that because, like, the main thing that you really like about Bomberman are, in this case, Flip Wars, which is pretty much Bomberman on, like, a weird set of steroids. It's weird, like, the power-ups and things that you can do. It's odd. It's wonderful. Best part is playing with friends locally. Haven't really had a chance to play Flip Wars with four people to just go at it.
Oh, so I'm so assuming it's the same problems that if you wanted to play with friends online, like not locally, you come into issues.
Or like, I don't think it exists.
Oh, that's even worse. I did read an interesting development on NeoGAF, I think. It might have been elsewhere, but apparently the Switch does have the hardware in place to take audio input, like a mic input. So really the only thing keeping them from implementing voice over the game service itself is Nintendo. Like, you should realistically, with the hardware that's designed in the Switch, be able to put a headset directly into the Switch, assuming, you know, it's the type of headset that doesn't need any like phantom power or plug-in power, that sort of thing. And everything in regards to the Switch's hardware would be perfectly acceptable and fine at taking the microphone signal and, you know, using a chat room
dumbing it over
the system. Yeah, exactly. So it seems to be a company like a software design limitation that's keeping you from, you know, not using your phone for chat.
So do you think it would be closer to a hardware limitation of they're afraid of how powerful that Switch actually is?
I don't think so, because like voice over IP can be of like substandard quality, like less than Discord, less than Google Hangouts, less than Skype, and house up like very little amounts of processing and probably more importantly like bandwidth.
But so, and I'm more curious about like the hardware limitations of the Switch running multiple tasks at once, so creating that party and keeping it all together, syncing it up with the game and doing that. I'm thinking they're low-key saying, oh, it's a super powerful handheld console. By the way, don't treat it like...
Don't treat it like your iPhone or iPad.
Or like an actual game console. Treat it more like a Game Boy, please. Thank you.
Could you have voice chat over like a 3DS or
yes.
anything like that? If you can do it on the 3DS, then I think you can do it on the Switch.
I believe you could do it on the 3DS. I should probably Google that. Don't quote me on that, Dave. Our sole listener at points.
So I don't think point three is necessarily any much of a question, but yeah, you might be onto something there. Like,
basically what you're telling us is just go to Toys R Us when the SNES Classic comes out.
We're going to blame you if Cookie does not get one.
No, but I feel you. It's definitely the consumer's fault for it being like super overpriced, but I'm still going with Nintendo just made like 15 and said, yep, last time we made 14, people complained. We'll make...
Plus, we're here for the pleasure of our listeners who are consumers, so we can't point the finger at them.
Ooh, I like that.
That would just be a bad idea. The listener's never at fault.
There are a bunch of companies, too, canceling pre-orders again. Like, Walmart started canceling pre-orders again for overselling them, basically.
Honestly, it is a shit show with every party involved. Like, I don't want to have a there's trouble on all sides kind of argument here, but Yeah, the consumers certainly help inflate the price and give companies the, who, I don't know, kind of abuse the distribution as we've seen.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's just like, there's no good faith on any side of the exchange. And not from the distributors, not from the retailers, not from us. Like, it's just a bad situation. I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah,
without
like
someone taking without one party taking a drastic step.
At the end of the day, if Nintendo would just manufacture more of these units, we wouldn't have this problem. But it's not making anyone's lives better by having shitty pre-orders or shitty pre-order systems or any of like the crap going on with ThinkGeek and GameStop, not GameSpot. I'm sure I've messed that up multiple times in the past. For point four, the whole thing about race, I hadn't even thought that the idea that not only are you rewriting the story to have white or Caucasian characters, for some of the cast at least, but I was telling this to Scott earlier, but I don't necessarily know what a high population percentage would be, but Seattle has, I think it was a 16% Asian population.
That's pretty good.
Like, that seems sizable, because the only other place I could think of for being known to having like a large Asian population would be Houston. And that's only a 6% or 5%. I could be wrong. Or Google could be wrong, too. But
right.
But, I mean, yeah, those are things I agree with. As for elaborating, it's not necessarily just black actors. It's any other race than white, because much like you're pointing out, the representation of other races in Hollywood and in the acting industry, whatever, the entertainment business is probably a better way to put it, it's like predominantly Caucasian or white men and women. And in certain like entertainment outlets or forms, like news media, sports media, even gaming journalism, is like predominantly white males. So when I see anyone other than that, like hell, like even this podcast, I always wish we could have a female co-host, host, whatever, like a female participant. Not because like I'm trying to fill a niche, but I feel like it's...
We're only getting the penis side of the perspective of the video game community.
Yeah, we're getting too much hot dog, not enough taco.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I think that's also probably one of the reasons that at least we all seem to be pretty eager when we can get a guest or someone on the show, whether but even in that case, you know, it's like it's someone like if we have a female on the show, someone close to us, normally a girlfriend or wife or, you know, like close familial relation. So even then, like, it's not the same amount of diversity of as having someone completely like fresh and not necessarily associated, besides like being a friend of ours.
Yeah, exactly. It's
it would be super nice to be able to do that more. It is also very tricky to make that happen. But
yeah, I don't think I've necessarily vocalized this intention or this desire before, but I feel like it could be misconstrued as the whole like, oh, we just gotta get a girl on the show sort of, you know, nerdgasm thing happening. It's not from that at all. It's just the recognition that like every podcast I listen to, with the exception of NPR, This American Life, is all male. It's male dominated too. Like,
well, it makes sense.
I mean, men are superior.
Yeah, no, totally. No, but that was a weird noise.
Obvious sarcasm aside, my friend Daniel is asking, Scott, have you managed to get a Switch?
Oh, why? Yes, I have acquired a Switch in the most like serendipitous of ways, and that was, I didn't acquire a Switch whatsoever. Cookie acquired a Switch for me, and I just had to do the easy work of giving him the funds to get that Switch transferred over to me. Like, the backstory is, I had hunted around town, then I complained to you guys a little bit, like, oh, I'll find it, but it's going to take a lot of work. But if you see one, let me know. And so I think it was literally later that day, like a couple hours later, I get a phone call from Cookie. He's like, hey, I went to go buy a TV. I saw a Switch. I bought it for you.
It was the Amazon TV, not a full TV. But yes.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. What's an Amazon I get what you're saying.
It's kind of like a Roku.
Oh.
But Roku doesn't upgrade their HBO Go app at all. So ours just stopped working with HBO Go, but it works like with everything else.
So you couldn't finish your Game of Thrones
without an Amazon TV. So I was like,
oh, no.
I refuse not to finish my Game of Thrones on time. So I was like, I guess I want to buy an Amazon TV.
Pretty good reason to do that. Well, so there's your Scott Switch update.
I'll be driving over several state borders just to acquire this Switch soon.
While hopefully avoiding any forest fires in Montana.
Yeah, they're most of them are going to be behind me on my way out. There might be one ahead of me outside of Billings. But yeah, I'm not coming to Omaha for my sister's wedding. It's to pick up the Switch.
And it just happens to be convenient that her wedding is, you know, right next to that date. Yeah.
Now you can camouflage the real reason of this road trip.
The truth of things. I'm thinking I might bring it for the wedding because, I mean, like, my sister, she's been on, what was it? She was on your Persona podcast. So I think our audience may or may not know, or at least the ones who have played Persona and cared to listen to that big spoiler cast, know that, like, I am not the only gamer in my family by any extent. She and her friends also love to game, and so I think if I bring a Switch, that might be like a great party item for some people.
You're going to be that guy going to the party with the Switch and setting it down, and everyone's going to be like, what's this? Oh, awesome.
Oh, that's the new Nintendo Switch.
I'm going to be the dude in the commercial. It's going to be great.
That happens in real life. It literally happens just like the commercials in real life.
I mean, I remember when we did it out at dinner with... Mm-hmm. We were waiting on you and Tiffany to no one's surprise, pulled out the Switch and we played in the restaurant for a bit. That was a blast.
Like, I go to Voodoo Taco sometimes just to grab like a couple of tacos whenever I'm like, oh, Voodoo Taco, this sounds nice. Like a couple of $2 tacos? Fuck yeah, I'll do that.
Do you play with the workers?
Actually, yeah. Like the first day I took it out, I was like, someone's like, oh, is this a new Switch? Can I try that out real fast? So yeah, we're playing a little 1-2 Switch.
Were you milking cows together?
Mm-hmm. I always milk cows with people. And then I'll pull it out at work and people will be stopping by because like I'm on break, so I'm playing it. So people will stop by and they'll ask if they can like join me in like a game or something. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? So yes, it does happen. I literally set up the Switch on a ping pong table so we can play ping pong with the Switch,
That the motto that I gave last time, Nintendo, make new friends, might actually work. Like they might actually be able to roll with that a little bit, because that's what you're doing with the Nintendo Switch. That's what Street Pass is for. Nintendo's just trying to bring the world together,
not trying to tell us to go or run, because Pokemon Go, Super Mario Run, slowly telling us to get away.
So what's everyone's week been like?
Last episode we talked about the greatness that is our Lord and Savior, Light Yagami, or Light Turner, and his foray into the Death Note in that movie. So me and Lizzie kind of were like, was the anime good? So we started watching the anime. So that's kind of what we've been doing all week.
And?
Wait, I thought you guys had seen it already, correct?
We had, but
it was
terrible, and it was so long ago that it brings questions up. It's kind of like if I were to go to watch Avatar The Last Airbender movie, I'd have to question my resolve for the actual show.
And you came to the conclusion that actually the anime is good.
Yes, the anime is good. The terrible, terrible storyline and plot development and awful twists are just amazing. And on the complete opposite note, with gamers and their love triangle that is terrible and awful and going in every direction it wants to go is also amazing, but in a completely different way.
I can't believe the last episode they reverted back to the misunderstanding of, oh no, maybe he actually does like Tendo.
I know, right? So been getting even more into woodworking. I made a new monitor stand because my second monitor was literally sitting on a cardboard box that was slowly sagging down.
You also made a table saw, and what you told me was you made a table saw by?
Oh, mounting a circular saw upside down in
like a handheld circular saw. Mm-hmm. Like you basically have flipped it upside down and found a way to mount it to a surface, right?
Yep. So I quite literally screw it into a table, and I make that table a table saw.
Holy shit, dude. What are you doing?
It's totally safe. I was testing cuts. I was making sure I'm being safe. I've got everything down. It's fine.
Hey, man, you don't want to lose those fingers. We're a gaming podcast. You'll run out of any reason to be on the show if you lose the digits.
Well, there's the Switch controller that one guy made for the dude who only had one hand. And he was complaining that he couldn't play Zelda Breath of the Wild because he only had one hand. You definitely need two hands for that. So there's a Switch mount for that. So it's fine. Worst case scenario, I just have to change my lifestyle a little bit.
Just be careful.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking I need to build a new table. I also am helping a friend. He's going to start building a chair. And then this is just an extension of me wanting to make the designing and making of longboards a little easier to do. So table saw definitely helped me cut down planks of wood so I can start sacking them up, clamping them together, and making a press to make skateboards and longboards. You seem to be staring at that half-naked woman, Neil.
No, I was actually staring at the joint. It looks like two pieces of wood, but I don't think it is
on
your
longboard. Nope, it's two pieces of grip tape.
Oh, so that's what's causing that little...
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
For those of you can't see, he's looking at the second longboard I ever made that has a clear grip tape over it. And unfortunately, they don't make grip tape for longboards. They only make them for skateboards, and those only go so long. So I had to buy a second piece of clear grip tape and match up the seam. And there's a little bit of a thing showing there.
And now you have enough to make a very short skateboard.
Mm-hmm. Which I've got two very short
mini board.
Yeah, I've got two boards about the size, a little bit shorter than a skateboard, so it's bigger than a nickel. But I'll be making those two into longboard-ish short boards. That, and last night I had a party. And in that party, a lot of my friends came over and they were talking video games. And I finally found a group of people who were buying Destiny 2 on the PlayStation 4, so I decided to pull the trigger and got that this morning. It's currently downloading.
I don't know if I should tell you congratulations or save it until you've played enough of it.
Probably the second one. Yeah. So
we're gonna
next
see.
Week.
and hopefully we can get some other guys to talk about Destiny 2, which is out now.
That's so. Yep.
I missed out on your bonfire because I was going to a birthday party for Lachlan, who was part of Fetch Quest podcast, and that's also why we had that weird email at the start of our podcast from Matt and Jarrett, also of Fetch Quest podcast fame.
Oh, that was generated from your guys' party?
Yes, yes it was.
I see.
And now everything comes full circle. Matt was basically talking about how, wouldn't life just be easier if we could just make meth? And, you know, not get caught, obviously. Not like, we both, part of our discussion, we're talking about how, we both have the intentions to have clean records for our entire lives. So it's not like we're taking that seriously, but...
I think I'd rather go weeds than breaking mad.
Who wants, dandelions and crabgrass, though?
I'd rather go weeds than breaking bad.
No, I get you. I did not like that show.
You didn't like Weeds?
Weeds was great for the first couple seasons, but...
Yeah, exactly. That was the problem is that show started off strong and then got real crazy.
When she became the mistress or wife of some Latin American president, I had completely dropped off by then.
Oh, I didn't even get that far, so...
Yeah, I
just
heard about
that. Things happened after that. Things.
Does she die at the end?
I don't remember.
I kind of feel like in the same way that Walter whatever in Breaking Bad dies.
Walter White.
Walter White.
Walter
thank you.
Whatever
Walter
White.
Japanese.
Walter whatever White. You know, that's his catchphrase in the TV show, right? He just says, whatever, and then walks away, walks off camera. Whatever. But I also haven't been playing too many video games because I've, granted this was a week ago, Oh, no, no. I guess this would have been after we recorded the last episode, but Twin Peaks finished up. Game of Thrones finished up. Anime's been coming out. I've been consuming as much of it as possible. Scott, what else do you have to tell us before we get into games?
I mean, I haven't done much. Uh-oh. I've had a boring life. At least this last week.
What about that time where you thought you found a Switch, you had called into a GameStop, and you were going in for your Switch, only to discover that the Montana wildfires were had engulfed that store?
Oh, my God. No, yeah, the fires are bad out here, but it feels a little off topic to talk about it today, because it actually looks pretty damn good. It's been weird. Haven't been able to go outside very much because of just all the smoke from the fires near like Florence and Lolo. So, and Cookie and Lizzie, I think, was it last week, were reading, or at least Lizzie read something and she texted me about it asking, you know, why the fires were so bad that the smoke was spilling out into the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, but even worse here, as you can imagine. But besides the world burning around me, and wishing for, you know, an inundation of water like the other side of the country is getting, I really haven't been up to much at all. Like, I've been doing work mostly and getting ready to, you know, make my trip back towards Omaha. So I've just been kind of working hard and putting in a little bit of gaming. I tried actually climbing the ranks in League for the first time. I played some ranked games. The first one went super, super well, which unfortunately made me way too optimistic for the following games. And I'm finding that just like if I get an MF as the AD carry, because I've been playing support mostly, I can pretty much write that game off as a loss for whatever reason. It's just like that is the particular champion that is ill-suited to winning the ranked match, because I cannot support them as much as they need me to support them.
Good old toxic League.
Besides catching up on and trying to complete Prey, I haven't done much else on the gaming end. That's why I've been pretty quiet this time around. I'm almost done with Prey, though, and I'm interested to see how it will end. It has been a game with a multitude of just like twists and turns and changing like final or main objectives, which has made it pretty interesting. But my impatience, I don't know, maybe isn't helping me very much when it comes to actually enjoying everything it has to offer. Because now I'm getting to this point where, like, I'll go to an area on the space station and just, like, sprint through it, swinging my wrench wildly like a crazy person just to get to the next space. And I'm not, like, reading things carefully anymore. So I'm really close to finding out the ending. But I can say I've definitely enjoyed the game, and I'm looking forward to doing another playthrough for sure now that I have kind of the basic idea of how the story will play out, and I now know the layout of the station well enough to navigate it a lot more effectively and like achieve objectives and whatnot in a more efficient way, as opposed to running to one end of the station and then all the way back to the other end and then back to the previous end, like multiple times to complete different tasks. Gotta say though, the powers in it are pretty interesting. Like I'm going to really try and figure out a way to make it work with just a single human powers playthrough and a single Typhon powers playthrough, but it's pretty tough near the end. I got to a point where I had a bunch of suit repair kits, and beforehand, I had never really received a much damage to actually need to repair my suit ever. And then I'm getting to this near end game stretch, and I decide, well, I don't need these, and I recycled like half of my inventory, only to immediately later encounter an enemy that tears my suit to shreds. And now I'm like, I just threw away the one thing that was keeping me alive.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it's those decisions are, man, I always seem to make them at the worst moment. But yeah, my gaming's been really really pretty low key. And I think it's also in preparation because I'm about to have a Switch, and I'm not going to have any other opportunity to play a different console though while I'm out and traveling. So I will probably put a lot of time into the Switch and pick up a copy of Breath of the Wild and start my own playthrough on that, and maybe some other games as well. I bet Sierra would really like Snipper Clips and some of the other stuff.
And you too can then get into fights with each other over which way to turn your shape.
Actually, that's true. I won't ever play a cooperative game with my girlfriend again.
I was about to say,
we tried
probably
playing
played.
Portal, and I was ready to break up after Portal 2.
What? Like, really?
It was so frustrating, man. It's so hard when you're trying to have someone do something that you know will work, and they just won't do it, or they just can't comprehend what they're supposed to be doing. It was to the point where I was getting really stern and quiet and just like, I'm pinging at exactly where you need to shoot. You're going to shoot this color. Please do it. And I'm just like gritting my teeth. It's so bad. We can't play Portal together. It will destroy our relationship.
So no Overcooked or Death Cubed for you either then?
No. Sierra and I are not a teamwork couple. We both happily support each other in our individual ventures. And I think that's where it's going to stay for quite a while.
I just find it so funny because if we were in a relationship together, because, you know, like friendships are different from relationships, right? And or maybe for me specifically. But if my significant other was getting silent and stuff based upon my failures in a video game, I would just purposely fuck up as hard as I could. Like,
yes,
try and get you
exactly
into a never-ending portal loop fall. And if you tried to escape, continue to fuck you over with it.
No, that is exactly what Sierra does. Like, that's the issue, is I'm like, come on, we got a goal to achieve here. And then she'll pull a bridge out from underneath me over, like, the water. And the worst part is, though, is, like, what really kills me about it is sometimes there's a level where, you know, you actually have to do quite a few procedural steps to get to the final bit. Mm-hmm. And she'll wait until the final bit until she fucks me over. And then she'll just, like, cackle about it. So
that's great. I think...
I can't wait to meet Sierra.
I think it's honestly fun for everyone but me, and that's the whole problem.
It's Mario Party all over again.
Oh, and see, that's the issue too. Is like, I can't criticize it without acknowledging the fact that I'm a hypocrite, because I remember fondly when Yoshi's Woolly World came out. I rented it, and I had one of my really close friends, Connor, over to play with me, and I don't know how many times I like turned him into an egg and threw him into a pit, or like stepped on his head when he was trying to get up a platform. Like, I cannot count how many times I screwed him over, and he was just, by the end of that playthrough, like done playing games with me for a while. And so I have to take responsibility that I'm reaping what I sow, but I don't want to. I don't want to suffer the consequences, Neil.
I would say that I think Snipper Clippers is chill enough that you won't have that problem, because I didn't really have that issue with Tiff.
Dude, you got past that one level with the waterfall?
We beat everything. Oh, that one was tough,
but we cheesed our way through that. We cheesed the fuck out of that.
You're talking about the horizontal waterfall thing,
so,
right?
So the waterfall was going down, but there were balls that were trying
to
go.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that level. Yeah, we cheesed the fuck out of that level.
The trick to those, anytime you see the liquid, is you have only a certain amount of liquid actually in the level. So if you can keep it all in a reservoir someplace, it will stop being a waterfall.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know how we discovered that, honestly, but that's.
I just thought it was never ending for the waterfall one.
Because like an umbrella doesn't really work, because it will continue to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we used a scoop, but we used a scoop that was shooting the water off one way, and then as the thing got underneath us,
we shot the water off
the other way.
See, that seems like that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
No.
Because
that was
like
2 days of trying to get that timing perfect.
Containing all of the liquid that the game can generate, possibly because of a limitation of the hardware, seems like the wrong way to do it. I don't know. Maybe they're both
equally right ways to complete.
Yeah, exactly. Snipper Clips is surprisingly good for how simple that concept is, and I think you should play it with her. I guess I can't say I know exactly what your dynamic is, like the severity.
Our dynamic
of
is
it.
More like Bomberman multiplayer.
Blow each other up.
So yeah. So Flip Wars.
Yeah, Flip Wars, exactly.
Which I'm still interested in getting, but there's just so many things to buy right now that I'm trying to keep myself from doing that. Are we segueing into my game, speaking of which? Or
yeah, we certainly should, because I've got nothing more.
As for my gaming, I'll say I haven't played anything new, so I won't talk too much, but I will say that 2017 is proving to be a really good year for gaming, speaking from a personal level. I don't think it's necessarily creating the mainstream hits that 2014 or 15 did. I don't really recall. But West of Loathing maybe like is currently in my top three for the year. That game is super fun, super ridiculous. And that's all I'm going to say about West of Loathing.
See how he just teases you, audience? He teases us like this, too. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to talk very much about this game. I beat it. All right, now I'm going to say something. It was great.
It's just that I don't think there's a good way to talk about West of Loathing because the humor is not, it's nothing extraordinary and it's not that unusual except in a game form in that it's got a lot of character and a lot of really
it seems really goofy, like it's
very extremely
silly
goofy
on a lot,
yeah,
of stuff.
It's like the type of game you'd expect someone who comes up with puns every other sentence to make. And in particular, if that person can't make graphics better than stick figures. Like, there's an option that you could turn on. I think it's called stupid walking or silly walking. And if you have that on randomly when you're moving your character around the screen, because it kind of moves like a point-and-click game, your character will just start doing weird things like handstand walking. Or like somersaulting, like it.
That sounds like fun.
It's just the small stuff like that that like endears the game to me on a level that I can't really think of since Katamari Damacy.
Mm-hmm. Good game, Lizzie game, hearts yeah. Katamari.
Which,
I also heart.
By Katamari. The way, that game takes such a long time to get used to the controls. I still like if I went back to it now, I would be furious over how little I can get that ball to roll the way I want it to roll. Like it takes like a week of active playing for me to be like, okay, I know how to move the ball now.
How it's
like,
gonna be perfect. Fuck, I picked something up, now my ball is really oblong shape.
And it's not even like the weird physics. It's literally like I can't get my guy with his small starting Katamari to move the way I want it to move. Like feels like Halo driving all over. Fuck Halo driving.
Wait, you didn't like Halo driving?
No, I fucking
which,
hate
which
Halo,
Halo are
driving.
We talking about, actually, is what I should say.
Halo, I think most of my time's been in Halo. No, you know what? The most recent driving would have been when I was playing Halo with Matt, the co-op campaign. So that would have been Halo, the remastered version of Halo 1.
Oh, okay. I don't know that much about Halo 1 driving, but I had a lot of experience with 2 and 3, and I always thought it was, like, awesome to drive those vehicles. They were very responsive with
their real kind of rear turning
tilt
wheels.
Your analog stick in whatever direction you wanted to go.
That's maybe what bugs me. I'd much rather have, like, your vehicle always goes straight when you hit a button to have it go straight. And then you turn it left and right based on your like left and right stick, like the left and right directions on your first analog stick. And then your right analog stick is your camera. Like that seems like the most logical driving scheme to me or control scheme. And I don't know why. It's just like you can get used to it after a while, but it's just so counterintuitive as to why they don't just make a car or make your Warthog control like a car would in almost every other game. Like,
well, how are you supposed to do donuts as easily if you have your driving scheme, Neil?
You hold brake and accelerate at the same time, and you turn hard left or right.
Yeah, but you can't do a continuous donut, which you can if you have the analog.
Wait, which couldn't is, you?
Okay, so let's say that you're trying to push forward for your accelerate, turn hard left or right. Those are two different directions on your analog stick.
Well, so you'd just be turning hard left, and then you would be braking at the same time. So that would keep your car somewhat stationary. You'd be accelerating, so you'd just be spinning around in a circle at that point with either your, with likely your front tires actually not moving as much.
I'm going
to
need some light.
Yeah, but then you decelerate to do that. I'm saying, like, the beauty of that analog stick was that you could execute turns or just continuously turn in a circle at, like, top speed, which worked wonderfully for moving a turret around a map. Yeah.
I see.
Like, I think those driving controls are really, really good for a game like Halo, in which you kind of have to have this, like, the Warthog is primarily mobility of your firepower. And so, like, being able to maneuver it in those weird but kind of tight turns at the highest speed possible is totally to the advantage of the players playing the game. Like,
I'm just saying that real, you know, car driving, when I have a family of four, I'm probably not going to go buy a Halo Warthog off of the Jeep lot. Like, I'll probably go find a Lancer or something from Gran Turismo. Turismo. I don't know.
Turismo.
Turismo. I don't know how we got into that tangent of driving, but that's a thing.
Because you wanted to whine. You wanted to whine, and I didn't want to.
I always want to let it go. Halo. Speaking of whining about Halo, we can't talk about Destiny 2 yet.
We can't talk about Destiny
yet. We'll talk about that next week. What else have you been playing, Cookie?
Rabbids.
Mario. Is the game
still
hard for
you? Have you beat that challenge level yet?
I haven't even gone back to that challenge level. Just, I figure I'll actually, because I only beat World 1-1, and I only beat World 1, and I'm like partway through World 2, and it's definitely getting more challenging, like, and I've got to use more logic than I really want to use, and maybe that's why I said it was hard, because I'm thinking on the scale of it's a Mario Rabbids game. There are no consequences. Fuck it. Let's just go do it live. Now I'm playing it more like I would play a XCOM type game or an RTS. So I'm like,
except you also have the weird things in that you don't have dice rolls when it comes to hits.
You do.
No, I guess you do if you're in partial cover, right? It's a 50-50.
It's a 50-50.
But if you're in full coverage,
it's 0% unless someone can whittle away at your cover.
But then I heard, too, that you can't just shoot at cover if no one's there. So you can't strategically shoot down walls, knowing that, like, an enemy could use that wall eventually.
So you can't do that unless you've got a certain gun type. So Rabid Mario actually uses a shotgun. So basically, if you're shooting at somebody, his entire blast goes in, like, a burst pattern cone outwards.
I was under the impression that you, like, rabbits were your enemies.
Some rabbits are your enemies.
Enemies and allies, Neil. Rabbits are
so you've
not
got
that
a,
easy to pin down.
You've got Rabbit Peach, Rabbit Luigi, and Rabbit Mario on your team.
They're rabbits that are wearing their costumes. They're cosplaying rabbits.
Like,
that's
quite literally, when Rabbit Peach met Peach, Rabbit Peach got, like, angry, and the thing that you're the little robot thing you're falling around is like, yeah, that rabbit really takes his cosplay seriously. I really like
so
Rabbit
much
Peach.
That the original cannot appease their judgment of what the costume should be.
Pretty much, and Rabbit Peach, honestly, he is my favorite character.
Is it the he or is it the she?
I think they're all.
Yeah, I guess
asexual.
It's my mistake for assuming gender to begin with on these rabbits.
But yeah, so, like, Rabbit Peach, they will, like, when I beat the main boss out of World 1-1, like, it blew up, and Rabbit Peach was taking selfies, like, from a selfie, so from the camera's perspective, you could see the pictures of the main enemy, like, blow up, and then he started, like, falling down this ravine, and then, like, four selfies later, he's, like, he pops up right next to her, and they're, like, doing, like, the Japanese peace sign. Like, you know, when you see Japanese people take pictures, they're doing, like, the really big smiles and the really
Isn't
wide
that
peace
just
signs.
A peace sign?
Americans got a little lazy with their peace signs, so we'll just do it. But the Japanese are like super hardcore on it. But either way, and they're both like doing that, and he's like right there. And then the next picture, he's like super far away again. So it's just little things like that. So that Rabbit Peach is always taking selfies and being a douche. But yeah.
So are they like the comedy equivalent of Minions at this point? Is that what they're being used for?
They're the Minions of video games, you could say.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Except they don't have a paint color named after them.
No, they don't.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Minions, no, but I can see it.
Yeah, that's an official color.
I was about to say, because that would have to be an official color, because they're only
what? It's an official color at Sherwin-Williams, or
basically, yeah. Like, I'm not sure how far.
I paint my house Minion yellow.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine so.
For the baby's room.
Yeah, I'd imagine so that they'd have to officially like make up a color for that.
You know what, Cookie darling? I would be so happy if we could just paint our walls a vomit yellow color.
I'd rather go with more of a Minion
and
yellow.
And then Mariana says, oh, but of course. I, fucking Scottish accent.
But yeah, so I'm enjoying Rabbids. Been playing a bit more of that, and that's about it. It's mostly just been anime for me and Lizzie this week. I'm hoping to get a little more video game time in this week with Destiny.
I'm curious to what you think of it. I'm also curious to hear your opinion cross-referenced with John and Keith's, because they're playing on the Xbox One, and I know that there is specifically some PS4 content that, granted, will be on other systems in a year or something like that, but
it's probably going to be something stupid like the Vanguard armor that we got.
Well, but in a game that's criticized for not having much content upon its first release, or with Destiny 1, I think every little bit counts. So if you have an exclusive strike, that's still significant, you know.
But now they're criticizing in the complete opposite direction.
There's too much story?
No, microtransactions. And one-time shader use. Don't buy the Bright Ingrams, everybody. They're boycotting, apparently.
Just the Bright Ingrams, that's it?
Yeah, because that's the only thing you can buy with real money. Or you can grind to get in-game things. But, like, the shaders, that's what everyone's really complaining about now. Because, you know, sometimes you just feel like wearing that Minion yellow outfit you got.
I just can't help but roll my eyes whenever I hear someone talk about microtransactions. Because it's just like, it's become
too much. It's there.
Yeah, and
it's not going to not be there.
To the extent now where, you know, there are story-related things you have to pay for, I think in Final Fantasy 15, but there's also dungeons in Breath of the Wild at this point, too, if I'm not mistaken. The saving grace this year has been Persona 5 only had aesthetic things.
Yeah, and they had free aesthetic things too.
Yeah.
Like bonus outfits that came for free. Japanese audio came for free.
There was a lot of free stuff.
Skins for your cat bus came for free. Like quite a bit on top of it. And an absolutely outstanding game without needing to
pay for anything.
Have you pay for any extra content besides the disc.
Yeah, I didn't even download any of the DLC for my first playthrough. And then I got the Japanese voices to see how those would go.
Mine are running.
I got the
their school outfits.
Yeah, I got the free
was it school or
free
summer
costumes?
Fun?
Summer Fun, I think, is like the bikinis and stuff, right?
Okay, so it's not the Summer Fun one then.
There is a portion, you know, where you're near a pool and you're supposed to get into swimsuits, and so I just changed everybody into the swimsuit outfit for the pool fights.
I like
that
it.
Was fun.
So, does that sound like that? I think I hear some water boiling. Some soup, maybe? A little bit of
what is that audio anyway?
Quite literally my mouth.
Are you impressed?
No.
Ouch. Oh.
Well, back to the drawing board. So I wanted to start this week off with something kind of lighthearted, but there's a new Humble bundle out that's probably been out for more than a week, but I just caught wind of it a couple days ago. It's the Humble Honey Sakura bundle. And if you're not familiar with Honey or Sakura, they're both a set of games that use those as their tags, if you will, like Honey, Honey Pop, and Honey Cam Studio. Sakura, on the other hand, has Sakura Fantasy, Sakura Beach, Sakura Dungeon, and they're all kind of promiscuous, we'll say. What I found hilarious, and granted, again, this isn't newsworthy or anything, but I found the reviews on the Humble Honey Sakura bundle to be pretty fantastic. So these reviews are pulled from Steam, and I believe they're handpicked by the Humble Bundle staff, and I just want to give them a big kudos for things like this. Honey Cam Studio review: I'm trash, and this game is exactly what I needed. Sakura Agent: intense plot. Open smiley face. Sakura Fantasy: I sold my CSGO guns to get this game. Sakura Beach: finally, a game I can play with my dad. Sakura Beach 2: still a better love story than Twilight. Sakura Angels: thanks, Dad. What are some other good ones? Honey Pop: I play it for the gem matching, I swear. Sakura Swim Club, which has a very scantily clothed, bikini-dressed woman: I read it purely for the story. Sakura Nova: I got this for the trading cards, I swear. Sakura Santa: better than Black Ops 3. And best of all, Sakura Dungeon: every day we stray further from God's light.
Damn.
That review, by the way, was signed by the user Regret. Maybe we should play Honey Pop.
No, I'll have to pass.
Oh. The Switch has sold 1.5 million units within 26 weeks of release in Japan. Compared to the PS4, that took nearly 70 weeks. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good sign for Nintendo.
Yeah, now if only they can make more.
I also read that the Pokemon CEO, or that basically Pokemon CEO...
the Pokemon company thought the Switch was going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why we don't have...
Yeah, which
Pokemon
is,
game,
which is also why we're not going to see one for another year or two.
Pokken Tournament,
which I'm fine with. I really like Pokken Tournament. That was actually one of my top fighting games of last year.
I think my only issue is that it's yet another game that does Pokemon better than Pokemon.
Do you mean by the combat system is more believable than a turn-based menu interaction?
And this is coming from the guy that, like, loves JRPGs and turn-based games. It's just that even Final Fantasy, from Final Fantasy 1 to Final Fantasy 6, had so much more growth and expansion upon their battle system than Pokemon has through every single
bag.
Fucking... Yeah, it's...
Well, but just think about it this way. We've got Pokemon 1... which it would be red, blue, green, yellow. Pokemon 2, gold, silver. We'll just throw the sapphire? No.
It doesn't matter.
Crystal.
There's like seven generations.
Yeah, don't worry about that. There's five or six generations at this point.
So we're only like game five or six in.
Yeah. Neil, I want to agree with you. In a general sense, but I will say, at least for the innovation in the combat, the direction that Pokemon has taken is often by introducing new moves that can be more and more intricately like related or affected by other moves in the moveset.
But tell
me, you still only get four, and you still just get like a little animation for it. But
right. So where is the pizzazz, like the grandeur of this game that's supposed to be this epic adventure coming from? Like,
it's
what?
In the Z-Rock evolutions.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like maybe it's not the kind of pizzazz that you like or are interested in. It's
the kind of
the
pizzazz.
Mega evolutions kind of lost me as well. But you can't say that they haven't like experimented with their battle system every generation. They haven't tried to update it and make it,
we've got,
you know, more
we've got idle animations now, Neil. Idle animations.
Yeah. So what I'm proposing is that basically the evolution of Pokemon, and that's not wasn't meant to be a pun, mind you, but the growth of Pokemon in general as a series has just been misguided then, because like what started out as something that could be relatable as like a grand adventure of being a young kid who you know, for whatever fucking reason, your parent thinks it's a good idea to send you out on a quest.
A young orphan.
Not really a quest, but yeah, you've basically been disowned.
I'm 10 now. Get the fuck out of my house. Here's a Pikachu, bitch.
Yeah, go earn some money, you know, fighting animals against one another.
The setup is totally cool, and it could be a thing, and yet it's remained to be the bare bones for this long. Yeah, no, you're right. Like, I don't need to keep reiterating this argument I have for Pokemon. It's just that
there's a lot of diversity in the combat, in the works, like the technical. I guess spread of the combat has grown larger and larger, and I think, you know, the people who appreciate that primarily are like the competitive scene and whatnot, and your casual gamer does not really get to appreciate or enjoy those effects, and that is probably the biggest issue with their combat.
The funny thing is that of everything you could have said about Pokemon, that's maybe the one thing I didn't have a comeback to. Because if you had said, you know, they're working on all these new Pokemon, I'd be like, oh, you like the trash bag Pokemon or the ice cream cone Pokemon? Like, it's not like they're coming up with brilliant new Pokemon.
Right,
Pokemon. I want to say Pokemon.
And every ghost-type Pokemon is just a wandering spirit in a different area or something.
Yeah.
Like, the most interesting Pokemon came from the first few generations.
Totally agree.
At this point, what we're seeing now are just rehashes. And
what about Mimikyu? Mimic? That Pokemon that just looks like a trash child's drawing of Pikachu? But yes, Scott, that was very eloquently worded, and that was the perfect thing to mention about the professional scene. Because if you watch their fights, I don't understand what's going on in those Pokemon battles anymore.
When they train their Pokemon, I can't even follow that. They're talking about EVs and all this stuff, and not the Pokemon EV either.
Yeah.
But the EV and IV balances, I know that those have been changed since I've even become aware of them, but it's one of those things. Like, Pokemon's combat system is actually really intricate and complex, but it's one of those things where the learning curve and the desire to reach that highest level is so distant from what your average 12-year-old kid with their Game Boy is going to be interested or involved in, that it doesn't necessarily work to the broader appeal of the game.
End of the day, what you have is basically a more accessible EVE Online. Like, it's a bunch of text. That's my issue. But moving on, I'm really glad you put this in the docket. I'm assuming Scott.
Yeah, because I forgot about it. But otherwise, yeah, I'm excited for this.
It's hilarious. I'm skipping one topic. We'll go back to that one. But the hilarious and also commentary.
Oh, that was me. Okay, I put that in.
I found that on
Buttholes difficulty slider being your skin tone.
But it's not in the way you think. It has nothing to do with combat.
Yeah, it's everything but combat.
It's everything but combat.
That's
so you'll learn,
super
you'll
interesting.
Earn less XP, people will talk to you differently the darker your skin color gets, and you'll earn a lot less money the darker your skin tone gets.
I really hope...
I'm excited.
I really, really, really hope that they don't end up backpedaling on this.
I don't think they will.
They won't. I don't see that they will.
So they were talking to somebody in an interview. They're like, yeah, so you can actually select your gender in this game. And if you say you can be, I'm straight, I'm gay, asexual. And depending on what you pick, how you identify, they were like, I think they said it was they said they were asexual or something, or they were gay. As soon as they left the school, a bunch of redneck hillbillies accosted them because of what they picked. So I'm super stoked for this game.
It's one of the few times where a game's mechanics are making a statement, a social statement. Not the story, but the mechanics built around the game.
So, like, I saw that and I was like, oh, the difficulty slider gets more difficult the darker your skin tone is? Yes. And then I was like, in every way except for the combat. And I'm like, cool. That's even better.
Yeah, it's super
right.
interesting.
No, that makes total sense, too. Like, the combat will be the same. It's all about the
social
the
effects.
Interactions outside of it. Yeah. And it's a really interesting way to think about a difficulty slider as well in any sort of game. Like, I do really love that they're tackling, or at least, you know, illuminating on some social commentary with the slider. But, like, thinking about it completely outside of that even, like, just having a difficulty slider that adjusts things outside of just harder enemies and bullet sponges is always a really, like, cool idea. And I think maybe harder to implement, but way more rewarding when you have a game played.
It occurred to me that I guess there are certain games like Oblivion or Morrowind that have characters like relate or address you differently depending on what race you pick, but never a game that has, but like that was your species, whether you're human, basically human, or you're
Khajiit.
Yeah, you're yeah, a cat.
In a fantasy game, like that's still, like that's the proxy for racism. Or other issues like that, or like xenophobia, but
it's very much it's more powerful if you're not using a proxy like you are in Zootopia. Like
exactly.
Just fucking address the problem up front. Not saying you always need to, or that it's always as effective, but it made me strangely excited to play that game when I wasn't planning on buying it before.
I was planning on buying it before, but this makes me need to beat the Stick of Truth a little faster now.
Oh yeah,
I'm about halfway through.
Have you got? Oh, so you haven't gotten to the bedroom scene yet?
No, not yet.
Okay,
I know what you're talking about, though.
Fucking great, fucking ridiculous. More. In other news, LA Noire is getting released on new consoles.
I'm excited about this.
PS4, Xbox One, Switch.
Those aren't the ones I'm excited for. It's coming to the Vive.
Oh, is it? I don't know how I missed that. That'll be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can doodle on your own notes.
I'm just kind of hoping that it's not like it comes to the Vive and it's a sitting experience. I'm hoping like when you're doing the detective stuff around a building, that you're physically walking around your space.
Ooh.
Or like if you're when you're examining bodies, you have to go and lift up the clothes. That would be cool. That would be very cool. That actually, so the question I had on the docket kind of illustrates perhaps a little bit of my opinion on the matter, where I was thinking, like, you know, maybe this is a good sign of a sequel and plans or a gauge of interest for a potential sequel, but maybe it's just another remaster and a way to make more money, or maybe it's both. But introducing that into VR sounds very awesome. Like that's what I want to, like, in the same way that Batman VR almost hits that mark for me in terms of, like, what would be an awesome VR experience. I'd much rather just have Detective VR, the game.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I was actually just double checking that what I read was accurate, that it is coming, and yes.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, because... Remind me, but LA Noire did have a evidence interaction portion as well, correct? Where if you had, let's say, somebody's skull, and on the back of the skull was the killer's phone number for whatever reason, you could rotate the skull in your hands, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Like you could
to
pick
the back,
up the hands.
And then you're like, oh no, this phone number is upside down. How can I read it? And then you could rotate it, you know, on a different axis, and then
yeah, so
and then call the killer and ask them, you know, why'd you do it?
Pretty
so
much.
That'll be really neat in VR, because I can't imagine that experience was, although it's supposed to be more immersive and interactive, I can't imagine it feels very comfortable with a controller.
It's okay. Like I actually played through LA through a bit of LA Noire. Like I did like 3 or 4 of the homicides that you get to investigate. So I know I didn't finish the game, but I didn't mind it. I had a little bit of issues with like trying to read people's tells. just yeah, because tells... of the limitation of the...
Go ahead, sorry.
Resolution. I couldn't think of words.
See, I thought... Wait, what system were you playing it on?
PlayStation...
Three?
Probably. Yeah.
I felt for the most part it was pretty easy to determine what, like, when they were lying or when they weren't being honest.
Yeah.
I gave it a free pass because I assumed that they wanted it to be somewhat obvious and also show off, like, their facial recognition mm-hmm. rendering, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, their ping pong ball method.
we've stapled dozens of ping pong balls in everyone's faces.
Why is everybody's face so bumpy in this game?
There's actually a super cool video, and I realize by saying super cool, I'm like not making it sound as good as it actually is. It's a really interesting video that Rockstar has about that technology, and I think Giant Bomb might also, or maybe it's Game Informer, might also have one detailing the method with Dan Reichert, since he was kind of guest featured in that game. I gave it a free pass because it was always really evident to me when people weren't being honest, because you could just watch them grimace and then look to the corner, like one of the corners of their eyes, really obviously like, Yeah, that's all I know. And I'm verbalizing the facial
emotion. The
facial doubt that they're displaying or guilt they're displaying. But I would occasionally have troubles determining what the difference was between doubt and lie or whatever the other two features were.
I think you have to confront lie with some sort of counter evidence or something like that. While doubt was just like, this seems like a lie, but I have nothing to confront this and, you know, give a contrary analysis of it.
And that's what I always had trouble, like, telling the difference between. I'm like, okay, obviously something's up with what you just said. What's the right response for me to pick? Oh, you picked the wrong response. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, I always thought I had heard from people who had played it that L.A. Noire's driving was the hardest part about the game.
I thought the driving was not bad, but then it occurs just to like me that like
squirrelier GTA controls is how it had been described to me. Like, it's like driving in GTA, except it's just harder.
See, and I love the way GTA drives. So I must be this weird anomaly that doesn't like Warthog driving, but loves GTA driving.
I don't mind GTA driving.
But like, it's also a lot easier for me to drive in a game when you're following traffic. Like, mm-hmm. I'm purposely not trying to find my top speed and see how fast I can get to 60 at a stoplight. Because you
what
also
really
were
sucks
penalized
is when you find
for
out how
into
fast
things.
You get to zero when you hit something. Oh God, I've hit this shrub and now my entire car is totaled.
And now the knights who say knee are coming after you as well for destroying that shrubbery. But what else do we got here?
PUBG's getting better water physics.
Have you picked up that game, Scott?
No, I haven't, because I talked to all my friends who play it, and they're like, yeah, we're about done with PUBG for now. I was behind on the curve.
It's okay. I play every once in a while still.
Yeah. I figure it's not worth paying the money just yet if I actually don't have a reliable community of people to play with, because I don't think I could play that on my own too frequently.
You need, it seems like it's most enjoyable when you play it with pre-mates. But I was thinking about it, and then it, like, I just had a reminder sort of hit me subconsciously that Danganronpa 3 is coming out in less than 2 weeks, or maybe right around 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to finish the second one, so I think I've determined what I'll be playing.
But yeah, so they're just getting probably the Sea of Thieves guys' water physics, and that was that hot pot.
What I will say is that from the sounds of it, PUBG's creator, player unknown, if you will, was talking about, and this maybe addresses things from other games that have recently been released officially, like The Long Dark, but he has absolutely no plans to raise the price of that game.
Oh, that's good, because his that community is awesome. Had just the biggest uproar when they had like a charity microtransaction thing going on.
Oh, for Harvey?
No, it wasn't for Harvey. It was before Harvey. It was like, it was either for a charity that they had microtransactions or to sponsor a tournament for like PUBG people. So it was like, hey, if you buy these completely cosmetic things, it's going towards a pot for this, basically. Like, we're not getting any of this money. It's going to this. And their people had an uproar because they were like, you said you were never going to have microtransactions. Then he was like, I said we were never going to have microtransactions before the game released. After the game released, it was always up in the air. We were more than likely going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, technically, the game hasn't
officially released yet.
Yeah, but I don't think there's much fault. If it's the one I'm thinking of where they introduce like the Battle Royale cosmetics or outfits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
people just get up in arms as soon as they hear microtransaction.
It's not like you're buying ghillie suits. So I'm normally this way too, but when a company does purely like appearance related things, I could hardly care less, because like if you're getting in gross amounts of hours into a game, and you like you feel the need to make yourself stand out a little more, it's like that seems fine.
No, Neo, we have to be able to grind all of these things in game.
It's not like the yellow jumpsuit is going to make you a harder target to find. And it's not like you're spending $5 for a permanent ghillie suit or anything like that. So, and I could be wrong. Maybe there are some outfits that are essentially pay to win because they just happen to be like a nice olive drab color or something. Yeah, but
the earth tones that let you hide just a little bit easier.
The majority of the outfits in that game that I've seen are like ridiculously contrast, or like contrast ridiculously to like the rest of the environments.
I really like the Predator outfit that they have, the one that lets you go invisible.
It lets you go invisible. Oh no, this is a joke. I see.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
It even has the shoulder cannon. So like, even if you pick up the frying pan, really you're not that defenseless.
If you have comments, questions, or corrections, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com, just like the emails at the start of the hour.
And if you've been enjoying the show, leave a review with us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. But more importantly, tell a friend and help us grow our audience. That means you, Dave.
Oh, and Danny's going to be listening for this first time.
Danny's going to listen to this one?
Danny Targaryen?
No.
Yes, Daenerys. Yeah, when I was talking to him at the party, he asked me, like, why aren't you guys updating anymore? And then it occurred to me, I never made a, hey, FetchQuest podcast listeners, there's a new podcast over at fancyramen.com. That's fancyramen.com.
I hope he doesn't start on this one.
Maybe he should.
Maybe he should int.
Nope. I'm gonna say right now that, you know, if he's decided to listen this long, that it might be worth his time to go back to episode 6 now with 100% more Scott.
Oh,
start
yes,
from there.
Because 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 were not good. Is
I mean,
that
I
what
would
you're
know,
saying,
I didn't
Scott?
Listen.
Okay. That does it for episode 31 of the Fancy Ramen Podcast. Danny, if you're joining us this episode, hi.
There's more.
Maybe we'll talk about Fancy Ramen one day.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Hide your parents, hide your knife.
Scott, you're next.
Hide your knife in their bodies.
I have nothing to hide. I'm completely transparent here. I have nothing to hide. Want everyone to know that.
Except for that meth lab that's behind you. But, you know, it's whatevs. We've established that all you're doing is breaking glass. And
have a good day, everybody. We'll see you next week. The music used for the intro and outro of this episode is from Devil Summoner 2, Raido Kuzunoha vs. King Abaddon, composed by Shoji Meguro and released in 2008.
This is another great one for Neil to just go ahead and not edit at all. Just let them see, let them not see, but hear all the magic that happens between start of recording and end of recording. Or in my case today, your start of recording, 10 to 15 minutes of me just like speaking into the ether, and then start of recording, and then end of recording.